Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 451 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Hey, fellas, how you going?
Fucking great.
Good weekend, mate?
Great weekend.
That's good.
Got lawns done, whippersnipping. Fucking
beautiful. Oh, it was that weekend, was it?
Love it.
So that's basically the weekend then?
Well, it was mainly Sunday, but it's good times. And then the best time, this is going to sound really boring, Jay, but the best time is that when you fucking actually get it all done, everything's packed up, you put it away, you go down, have your shower, you come out, you make your vodka, and it pisses down rain on your freshly cut lawn. So you know that although you've got more work to do in a week's time, it's going to be fucking green and beautiful. Can't believe I got to this point in my life.
You're one of those. Yeah, you've become one of those. Yeah, I think it'll be next weekend when I've got to do mine, but
yeah.
Although I did some mini golf as usual.
It's some mini golf.
Up there at Vic Park. Yep. You know how every holiday period they bust out like a themed, you know, they redo the course under, you know, like decorating the theme.
Or do you just play normal golf with Jay's clubs?
Because you know, golf being the worst sport on earth.
What? Other than Penrith and being a cunt, what do you actually like?
Fucking everything. Dairy Queen.
You're only paying lip service to the Dairy Queen thing. You started off with the Dairy Queen thing, but it's fucking same old Jay.
It's still the same cunt you've always been, to be honest. Well, you fucking drown the Dairy Queen.
I just don't get why you would take the most annoying part of the worst sport on earth and just do that for 18 things straight.
18 things? Like, the fucking ignorance.
Get rid of the fucking buggy, get rid of the nice scenery, get rid of the natural grass, just fucking astroturf everything. Oh, then stick a fucking windmill on it.
For 18 things in a row. How fucking good.
Holes. Fucking holes. I didn't want to mention holes because you went off on a fucking digger tangent. Jeez. I would set you off.
As always, you're just treading on eggshells around me. Tiptoeing around me. As always.
I mean, they're different things to different people. I mean, Glenn hears about holes and he fucking jumps in and fucking grabs a digger. And you hear about holes and you fucking throwing the fucking furry mitts on. Like, yeah, it just goes to show the things mean different things.
You hear the word hole and you fucking line up the sex wing.
Right.
What a fucked up bunch we are.
Golf is wonderful and I do enjoy it. Fantastic.
Yeah, mini golf's not too bad. I mean, kids don't get like they don't like getting fucking slaughtered like badly, but so this time I was just like, there was a ton of people. Like, I think this is the first time we've done it on a Saturday night, because usually in holiday times, you know, we sort of doing it on a midweek night, and it's, you know, there's not that many people around. But this was fucking packed.
Where did you go? Night.
So I had to wait quite a bit too, because you've done that one, haven't you, Glennie?
At Vicky Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was fucking packed, and there were so many people to the point that like all the clubs were gone. Mm. And you're sort of waiting for groups to finish and come back and return. Like and I ended up using like one of the little, like one of your size ones, like one of the green, like, you know, one of the little kids ones, not littlest ones, but like, you know, not as big as, not as I prefer. Next time I go, I'll fucking take my own putter. But yeah, it was.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Well, no, I used to
like the guy that jumped.
Imagine
the car.
With his little bag. Yeah.
I used to play golf probably in 2002.
People used to show up to Dad's pub with their own fucking pool cue. I'm like,
but yeah, But I will be. But I tell you, I didn't think about it till this time.
Screwing it together.
Put some chalk. Just put scrubbing blue fucking chalk on it as well across the face.
How do you do, peasants? Did you not bring your own
using
buzzer?
The little kids one though? It was great. It's probably the best I've ever gone there. So I don't think I went over three on any hole. So. And you know what Vic Park's like. I mean, it is some of those hilly ones. The time we went.
So Leo, I don't know why, but I think Jackson was probably overthinking a little bit. And the worse he went, the worse he got. Yep. And Leo,
I've got one of those.
Leo was fucking arsing it, like just. I think it's mainly because Jackson gave way too many fucks, and Leo gave absolutely, such is often the case for both children, Leo gave absolutely zero fucks. So he's just whacking the ball, and he was actually doing quite well. Hit a hole in one at one stage. His brother just about fucking imploded, and because on top of not having a particularly great day or great game of mini golf, he's also hyper competitive. And to watch his brother actually do better than him, his younger brother.
He didn't win across the whole thing, though, did he? He wouldn't have beaten
him. I don't think he beat him. But then Leo could see that him doing well was really pissing his brother off. So then Leo slips into Trey Young mode and starts just giving it to him about Jackson. I thought he'd be better at this. Oh, it's good.
Yeah, this time, like I've had problems with you know people getting too serious about it as well. So this time because it was so packed and everything, I just could be fucked. I was like, you know what? I said I'm not even gonna fucking fill out the scorecard. Keep your own fucking scores. I don't give a shit. and not giving a shit was probably the best I've ever gone through there. So maybe there's something to be said for not giving a shit.
Yeah,
and not counting.
Jokes aside, Jay, I'm still struggling as to which one of your personalities that just come out in this conversation is the accurate one. Do you actually play golf or enjoy it?
Mate, I do for work when it's required of me.
Yeah.
But it's not something I would seek out.
Yeah, okay.
And probably more just for time reasons than anything else.
Yeah. That's the reason I don't play, but if I had all the time, I would play golf every day.
And I think that's the thing. It's such a fucking, such an art that it's almost impossible to half-ass it.
Yeah, you can't go out once a year.
If you want to be any good at it,
you can't go out once a year and play 18 holes and
think. And speaking of this, I got a family member who's amazing at golf.
Yeah,
you know, shout out Uncle Mark, and his father was a golf pro, so you know he's got half the reason to be.
Yeah, ever since he could stand up, he had a club in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, and he hasn't had as much work commitment lately. But last time I was chatting to him, he was saying, you know, when he'd play every couple of months, he'd be amazing, but now he's got time to play every week.
Yeah.
And it's like you were saying, he's overthinking things and starting to get in.
Yeah,
Any sport that can do that to the best I've ever seen at it, I don't want to dip a fucking toe into.
Steve, well clear. I like it.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's definitely one of those activities that kind of is like an exception to the 10,000 hour.
Yeah.
Thing. I remember when I got started in golf. I mean, like S for my birthday, she's got me some lessons with a pro down at Ashgrove or somewhere, and so we rock up there and just get like 5 iron, and he's just saying, okay, you know, you got this is the way you hold it, this is what you got to do when you swing it, and let it crack. And first one, it's like bam, 150 meters, dead straight. A slight little bit of draw on it, and he's like, oh, that's perfect. The more shit you learn, though, the more shit you think about when you're setting it up, and it was never that fucking good. It was never that good again. So
I'll tell you what, though. Liking golf, like being passionate about golf, is a fucking service that you can give to everyone around you, because you instantly become the easiest cunt in the world to buy birthday and Christmas presents. Like, there are that many gadgets and gizmos and
Oh, and then you go higher end, like, you know, trips away or to spectacular courses and,
yeah,
you know, the rest of it. So, yep.
That's it.
Yep. Anyway, speaking of holes, perfect segue. Cronulla Sutherland Sharks 18 defeat the Newcastle Knights 0. There you go. You got the 18 and the hole, and we didn't even fucking set that up. The Sharks 18 tries to Tolman, Katoa, Talakai, Will Kennedy, Nico Hines with 1 from 4 conversions. The Knights 0. Glennie.
Ponga had a couple of concerning lack of interest plays, which is probably
kind of the plays that we highlight like every time that he does them, because
yeah, even
we're trying
more
to,
so,
we're trying to get just, the message through to the people.
Just not, you know, there's obviously been a bit spoken about in his meeting with Wayne and you know, the contract stuff and things going on off the field. Just don't think he's just displaying the maturity to handle that off-field stuff and still be the guy that Newcastle needs and is paying him to be. And then to compound that, there's talk that they're going to pay him $1.3 million a fucking season.
Yeah, so. Fuck.
And that is that, and that will be the most, right? Like, I mean, there's no, I mean, because we always talk about the $1 million sort of club, but
yeah.
I mean, 1.3 is like, that's, I mean, is anyone even getting 1.1 at the minute?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what, like, about, that would make him the highest paid player in the game.
Who's the $1 million player? Is Cleary $1 million player yet?
He would be. How lucky he is now?
Look, I think we can safely say that, you know, maybe over 2 Clearys. There's an average of 1 of them.
An average of 1 million. And then you got Taumalolo, you've got Daly, you've got who else?
Hang on. I think I pulled this up when I was highlighting.
You did. We have spoken about it before.
What shit value DCE is.
Oh, we'll get to that. Incredible fucking value.
But if DCE shit valued $1 million a year, what the fuck is Ponga at 1.3 then?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And what's Brooksy? Is he sitting on 900?
Oh,
and what was
I thought
that thing
it was.
What was that thing we saw come out?
Where
over,
was
the
context
over the
weekend? For that? I saw a tile saying "Wide World of Sports
1.1,"
and then I was like, "Where's the story? What the fuck is that?" There was
I just
link.
Saw that. I just saw it and got enraged for you and just moved on with my life.
Fucking crazy.
Righto, so number 10, we'll go through the top 10. Mitch Moses, and this is a 20.
And this is obviously declared. You know,
yeah, 2022 salary, so it's current.
Right,
920k. Which was 3 years at 2.7.
Oh, okay, so yeah, okay, right. Average across the thing. Yep, yep.
Nathan Cleary 940, 3 years 2.8. So they're saying Mitch Moses is only worth 100k less than Nathan Cleary. Fuck, you want to win a comp this year, Parramatta?
I mean, we are naming halfbacks here though too, so I guess it just good. Also puts like the.
He's got a good agent.
The...
JT at the Cowboys. Is he'll make 950 this year, but it was 10 years, 10 million. So if he's going down, oh, I suppose it wouldn't be that much. Pong is on a mil this year.
He's already on it.
He's on 4 years, 4.4.
So he's on 1.1 already.
No, he gets 1 this year, but an average of 1.1.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Munster's on a million.
Okay, there you go. I didn't realise he was on a million.
So he's on 2 years, 2 million?
Right.
Fuck, that's a smart contract, Melbourne.
He'll be on more next time too, because he's going to have the bargaining power of the Dolphins coming through, throwing ridiculous money to try and get him.
David Fifita, 1.1.
Oh, of course, yeah.
3 years.
Was he 1.1? Well,
3 years, 3.5. So that's what he gets this year.
Okay, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I thought he was 1.2, but yeah, he's just under.
Tommy's 1.1 this year.
Yep.
Oh, fuck. There's a value conversation. 6 years, 6 million. Fucking Manly and Parramatta want to fucking tie for the premiership this year. Teddy is on 1.1.
He's the best player in the game, of course.
Teddy.
You're paying unders for best. Good. No, not Teddy. No, not Teddy. Tell me, best player in the game, you're paying unders for him. So he's not number one.
The baboons
what?
Have entered the chat.
So Ben Hunt, 1.1.
Yeah, there's fucking no value
what?
In that either. But I mean, but
one of these things is not like the other.
But they're not giving him a hand either.
And
though,
DCE,
you know I mean?
The highest paid player in the competition at 1.2.
Legend.
8 years, 10 million. Beats the Bulldogs by 1 point. How fucking good. So Manly, with 2 of the top 10 highest players in the history of the game.
Not in the history of the game.
Fucking floundering.
floundering.
Well, these are the highest contracts now that has ever been in the game.
Yeah, but
if you want to have this conversation next week, I'll index them for inflation.
Yeah, but, you think I'm going to go back and do any research?
Tales, there's next week's episode title: Tales from the FI.
But,
yeah, Tales from the FI.
At this stage, the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles are essentially a Paul Keating era mortgage. That's the value they have. Oh, fucking hell. $1.1 million
so,
for Tommy.
Glennie, would you like to finish talking about the Kalen Ponga while this guy fucking masturbates over the fucking FI?
I have to say, the Sharks are looking really good already. I think they're only going to improve as those combinations continue to grow. But showing a real knack for stripping numbers on the edges, especially on the left with Talakai and Katoa. Talakai in particular in space is fucking dangerous. Just with the low center of gravity and the power and the pace as well. But
the next evolution of the game, maybe the Cowboys can fucking get the hint and fucking put Tamalolo in the centers.
but the way Sharks, Cronulla stripped the numbers in several points in that game and put those guys into space was really impressive.
You got to say, also, I mean, 300-game milestone for Aiden Tolman and scores the first try.
Most impressive thing he's done in his career. It's taken 300 fucking games.
Yeah, fucking hell. quick stat summary here. You would be forgiven for saying that against any other team, Cronulla would have lost this game. Right? 13 errors, 8 penalties conceded, not ruck infringements, 8 penalties conceded, and a sin bin. Right?
I think sometimes Sharks' aggression, certainly through the middle, can get the better of them.
Certainly can. Average play the ball speed was 4 seconds, where most of the games this year are around 3. But all game, 19 missed tackles.
Mm.
Now, granted, Newcastle didn't throw a lot at them, but then in reverse, Newcastle, 45 missed tackles.
Yeah, that.
And therein lies the fucking difference.
Mm.
What that then gives you is that out of essentially the same amount of sets, the Knights lost in running meters 1,929 to 1,268.
Yeah,
that's the
game.
And that
speaks to the position that they were running their sets. I mean, due to the general control that Cronulla had, Newcastle weren't really running the ball in good field position at any time, and they weren't doing much with the ball when they had it.
But
and
again, you've got to think 13 penalties that they're coming out of your own end. They're fucking piggybacks.
Yeah,
they still didn't score.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible.
No, they didn't really even look like it that much either.
Yeah. Isaac in the Facebook group said, Knights look like strangers. I was a Ponga defender until tonight. They completely squandered a 12-point win back to scramble defence and the forwards are asleep. That is an accurate. Mm.
Really unfortunately, Kalen is not much of a Ponga defender. In any sense.
Troy said, stab me in the eye with a Keno pencil. Fucking hell, Ponga. Bring back Tex Hoy. Danny said, another game and another Ponga no show. How that fuck justifies over 1 mil a season, I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Troy said, I'm just really enjoying the Sharks' new attitude towards defence. Though they didn't throw much at us, our hit and stick and one-on-one defence has improved immeasurably on the last 2 seasons already. Yeah, you're right. And Devon Head.
This fucking guy.
See, Chris Rock's cheek takes more hits than Ponga. There you go.
Right, moving on to the next one. The Panthers 26 defeat the Rabbitohs 12. The Panthers tries to Targo, Crichton, Liam Martin, and a double to May. Cleary, 2 conversions from 5 attempts and a penalty goal. The Rabbitohs 12 tries to Campbell Graham, Cody Walker, Latrell, 2 of 2 conversions.
Never in doubt.
It really wasn't.
Never in doubt.
It actually wasn't. I mean, did you tip South the win, didn't you?
Yes.
No,
I said
that I thought if South came out and would be more aggressive and wanted it more.
I don't know if you qualified
that they were a danger game.
I have to hit the game tape. I don't feel like you qualified.
If only
as
we
much
had a sound
that.
Engineer that could go back and look at the audio and cut that out and play it back where you tip South.
Glennie,
instead of being
a
fucking
need a sound
whining
engineer
cunt.
To find last week's episode on iTunes.
Listen, and just what I want to do is slam that motherfucker. That's what I want to do. Don't correct me with bullshit. I just want to have a crack at him. That's it.
I actually said Penrith 13 plus as my official tip.
That's part
yeah,
of,
that was like,
that's
that
part
was,
of what you
that's
said.
That's
you
the same
of
as
shit.
That's the same as Glennie when he says the Tigers 13 plus at the end when you know after just after he's given us fucking 20 minutes
after,
on why they're going to lose
I've
and
cried.
How much disappointment they've been in his life.
I would suggest to you, sir, that it is not the same because Penrith actually won.
You make a valid point.
It's the same. It's the same strategy.
So
is what I'm
it
saying.
Is in fact the opposite, which is the opposite of the same.
Ah, you're at your best tonight, mate. It's good to see.
Same. The same strategy, opposite result. Just through the team you jumped on.
It was nice to see that Penrith stepped up when it was important. They were down on form in their last couple of outings, even though the Knights probably wasn't a great indicator. Because they let the foot off the gas, given they were against 12 men for most of that game. The reintroduction of Cleary was... And while O'Sullivan did nothing at all to disgrace himself over those two games, Cleary coming back in was you know, everything you wanted to be. It was a morale booster. He did his job simply. He stepped back into that situation where he took on the plays that he knew was right. Was happy to defer to Luai when he needed to.
Perfect first game back.
You could say that he really played like Sean O'Sullivan.
He certainly did.
He really took his. He saw what worked in the opening rounds, and he just decided that that's the way that the game should be played.
So Sean O'Sullivan's LinkedIn now says mentor to the New South Wales Origin halfback.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, like he thinks of me like a second father.
Nathan flips the lights on. There's O'Sullivan balls deep in Mrs. Cleary.
Oh, fuck! Jesus Christ!
I guess the number 7 jersey of the Panthers, you know, it comes with fringe benefits or something. But yeah,
yeah. but especially with the forwards they were missing, that was where my main area of concern was. And even though the defence wasn't as hard hitting, they didn't have any of those stretches of the game like they do when Fish and Moses are on the field where they'll just pin somebody on the 10 and just fucking absolutely hammer them for a complete set and then make them kick off their 20 and then do it again and again and again and again. They played some more expansive football and I think we're starting to see the fruition of that next man up philosophy. Which is only possible when everybody knows their job. You know, if you're in a situation where a key player goes down, somebody like To'o, you know, New South Wales State of Origin winger, and our yardage every single set that we start out of our own end, you lose him, and then all of a sudden whoever's in there, well, they can't do as much as him, and they can't this, and everyone else around them's a little bit nervous. We're not at Melbourne stage by any stretch of the imagination. We're probably not even at Rooster stage. But we are getting to that next man up philosophy where everyone just knows exactly what their job is, which makes the new guy's job so much fucking easier. So South for theirs, never really got into the contest. And where they've been so dangerous for the last couple of weeks, they shot themselves in the foot. And it's shit like... you know, Burgess was back to fucking dropping balls every time they were in decent field position. Poor last tackle options or not really putting the Panthers under too much pressure. And
I think South did create some chances, but Penrith just shut them down. In some cases, just purely by superior defensive structure. In some cases, though, just... by pure fucking effort, which is for me, as neutral, was the most impressive thing. Those guys are, you know, they've just played back-to-back grand finals, they're defending premiers, and to show, you know, in round 4, albeit against a good side, which you're going to be up for. But to show those true effort plays is a fucking good sign as they look to defend the title, you know?
It is. And speaking of effort, I can't go past the effort of the number one fullback in the NRL. And according, or with the information from our earlier conversation, Penrith now have the best value player in the NRL in Dylan Edwards to go along with the most underrated player of Isaiah Yeo.
How is it that I feel dirty for something you said?
he's destroyed his original point because of by going back on his 2016 point that hasn't existed since 2017.
Look, but Isaiah Yeo is so underrated
by literally nobody.
Well, he can literally have been awarded 12 out of a possible 12 Dally M points so far this season, and still be underrated. That's how underrated
he pretty much has been.
No, Dylan Edwards is in form, and I think
he is. And the more he has, the more games he has in form, means that the it's reducing the time for the shocker, and you would the scariest time to be a Penrith fan in the history of being a Penrith fan would be if he somehow got through to the grand final and hadn't had that shocker yet. Because then you know he's got that it's just going to be a poor carriage fest, and he's going to race stone.
What old stand up was that? They used to tell that joke about Diet Coke. Like, how do they know that each can has just one calorie?
I don't know.
You don't have a million with no calories and then one time bomb.
That's Dylan Edwards. Love it.
See, that sounds like Stephen Wright or something.
Could have Diet Coke Edwards.
Coke, no talent.
This was an off night for Latrell as well. And the fact that it's not that he did anything bad. Like, again, he didn't really do anything wrong. But there are those nights where he goes looking for the ball and he wants to be involved in everything and he's inserting himself and just, like, getting himself in that space where he can put those big fucking Greg Inglis fuck off don't argues on people. And he wasn't really around.
Mm.
But, yeah.
What are your thoughts on why that is? Happy to put it down to an off night, or I feel like Latrell's got that bully mentality, and Penrith's not a team that can be bullied, and Sias at no point got on top for him to play off the back of, and therefore that's all she wrote for Latrell.
Look, that's possibly a fair assumption. I think it's a little bit of that, but also mixed with needs the chip on the shoulder.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there's also two chips on that he has as well. There's like the one where he gets angry and just takes charge. But then there's the other one where he gets angry, but he gets into a personal vendetta with someone, and they get under his skin, and that's when it starts to go badly for him.
But if there was going to be a game where he'd have a chip on his shoulder, a game against a so-called grand final rematch,
for a grand final that he was unable to play.
But the point though. Does that grand final loss affect Latrell Mitchell like it affects Cody Walker?
Absolutely. I don't think so. No way hell does it.
No chance.
Now, I think if you...
Cody Walker will never be the same player
he was. How much of the Manly grand final do you think Cameron Smith blames himself for? Like, I reckon deep down for the rest of his fucking life, that's that sort of mindset he has. I'm not sure Latrell's built that.
No, I'd agree. Yeah. I'd agree.
Not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, just how he is. But it also probably wouldn't help that Penrith are that team that he can get angry and aggressive and this, and Jerome Luai will just laugh at him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
What hard-hitting rugby league insight.
The rules around punching people.
Hard-hitting rugby league insight. Latrell Mitchell is not wired like Cam Smith. Fucking brilliant.
Look, that's why you listen to this show, Lenny.
Fucking good for shit times. Like that.
Absolutely. You've never had that thought until that thought was presented to you. You thought, oh my God, he's right.
He's fucking 100% right, and I respect the shit out of it. Luai was impressive for me. Fuck, he's good to watch when they're on a roll and he's got that jump in his step. It's fucking impressive.
Yeah.
literally, you know, I know Cleary gets so much and the lion's share of the raps, but he's fucking brilliant to watch.
Nice. On the socials, Steve said, I think it's become quite obvious who the best May is. And I think that was obvious before he'd ever stepped on the park.
Yeah, I think that was obvious before anyone had actually ever heard the name Taylan, yeah.
In fact, any player is the better May just by not being Tyrone May. That's the only qualification you need there. Joe said, with Dylan Edwards absolutely sunning Turbo and Latrell in the first four rounds, are we finally prepared to call him an elite fullback? I think the answer to that is categorically yes.
No.
The greatest fullback in the NRL. Mitch said, Latrell's best kick was into that old lady's nose. Ha ha. Fucking hell. What a fucking granny slander in the comments this week.
Yeah. That was a nice little moment, though, how he gave her the boots and everything.
Scott underscore T underscore Rowe from Twitter said, guys, I don't see how the Panthers can break up the May-Tago combination. Do you think they'll shift To'o over to the right to pair up with Crichton?
I think Otago's going to send the ball to whoever's on the other side of him, and he'll probably get more opportunities for himself with To'o there.
Yep.
That being said, at the moment, he certainly seems to be the less expendable winger.
So if you're going for best 17. Where do you sit on the point of, a left winger is a left winger and a right winger is a right winger?
Oh, as opposed to, surely wingers are wingers.
Get the best two on the field.
Wingers are wingers.
Yeah, okay. Nice. And Terry said, so there goes the South's narrative. We would have won with Latrell. Show some fucking respect, cunts. That's it. Well, you're right.
Bring Reynolds back for one game and so, I mean, come on now.
We'll get to the Broncos game, don't you worry.
Yeah, we will. Like, as soon as you finish your socials, it's the very next game.
We're done.
The Warriors 20 defeated the Broncos 6 over at Redcliffe. And the Warriors 20 are a double to Jesse Arthurs in his revenge game. Marcelo Montoya, who played the single greatest 2 minutes of his entire career in this one. Reece Walsh, 2 conversions, 2 penalty goals. The Broncos 6. I tried Reynolds, conversion to Reynolds. And that is the end of that.
Big point for me coming out of this game was the Broncos' ill-discipline, which pitiful. I think cost them badly. Flegler in particular, obviously, opened the door to the Warriors. And the Warriors haven't exactly set the world on fire to start the season, but you give them opportunities. There's enough attacking spark there with Johnson and Walsh and those sorts of guys. You know, you go a man down for 10 minutes, and not to mention other penalties and the field position and possession off the back of that.
Yeah.
The Warriors showed that they were good enough to make them pay. And I just, you know, Flegler's one of those guys, and there's a few of them in the NRL that struggle to find that balance with their aggression where it starts to be counterproductive to their team. And I just think that really cost the Broncos. I don't know that the Broncos were playing well enough to sort of blow the Warriors off the park by any stretch of the imagination, but they were certainly robbed of an opportunity to compete with the Warriors. They were just up against it, and the Warriors kept coming at them to their credit.
Yeah.
You look at both of these teams, and it makes me wonder, if you're a coach in the NRL, do you go back to very fucking basics?
Depends which club you're coaching.
Well, exactly. But you've had some new blood come in at Brisbane. If I'm Kevy Walters, I'm not trying to do anything more difficult than promote ball safety, than to promote speed and accurate passing while going as quick as you can, while running defensive drills and learning defensive structures, and just saying very simply, I want a high completion rate and I want them to start off in a corner X percentage of sets. That's our goal for the first 3 rounds of the year.
And who should touch the ball the most in that squad? Would you say your most talented players? If you only had 3 of them?
But look, again, oh, here, guys, we've acquired one of the better kicking games in the league. Right? So all we're going to do is have league-leading kick chase. That's it. Here's the thing we're going to do. Kick chase. I don't care who the fuck you are. If you start every set on your 10, you won't blow a team out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've got one of the best fucking meter-eating forwards,
yeah,
give that cunt the ball. If you've got a dangerous attacking... I'm not saying he's the best centre in the game, but he's certainly a fucking dangerous attacking player. And I don't think Herbie Farnworth is eclipsed completely by Katoni Staggs. I think he's talented in his own right, but just doesn't get enough ball. And doesn't go looking for enough ball, but certainly doesn't get enough ball.
Yeah,
Selwyn Cobbo, get the fucking ball in their hands.
Well, Selwyn Cobbo, get him out of the fucking side. I mean, what a trade down Xavier goes for that guy. Like, dead set fucking liability and one of their worst players in their 17 at the moment, in my opinion.
Defensively or...
Just completely across both sides of the fucking ball. Like Katoni Staggs, I mean, shit, you know, he's also half a game liability as well because for some reason he's, I don't know if he's reading hype or whatever, but the dude just, he's just got no fucking, like, you're getting the ball knocked out of him in tackles and, you know, just poor passing, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's it. But this is what I'm saying.
It fucking shits me to watch.
Just to go back to absolute basics for a little while. You know, there seems to be this thing of, oh, every, you know, round one, every team's got a chance to win the comp, you know? And for the Warriors, you know, they won the game and they played well, but it's a similar thing there. There just seems to be so many basic things that they should be getting a little bit better at each week that they're not, and this is running from last year.
Yeah, but you saw last week's game, right?
You know, yeah.
The Warriors were twice as good this week. I mean, they were probably the big improvers if you looked at, if you looked at form across the board.
Okay, no.
But the thing is, I mean, what you're saying is fine, but I mean, what's saying that the Broncos aren't doing that and they're not trying to do that? I mean, really, if you think about it, take some liabilities like Flegler getting fucking sin-binned and getting reported 1,000 times and like shit like that is kind of... Well, I'm not saying it's like impossible to predict happening because with Flegler it's a pattern, but you know what I mean. Like that's irrespective of game plans and things like that. Just, yeah, mistimed, you know, dumbass aggression and things like that.
True.
You know, don't. And I think the Broncos as well were hurt a lot by that injury to Albert Kelly as well because then that necessitated Billy Walters being on the field.
Yeah,
for half the game,
and. Yeah, look, yeah. You know, he's not great.
I just struggle. Look, you remember the back end of last year? You remember how the Broncos finished the comp last year?
You know? Yes.
The three of us sat around and said, fuck, I'll tell you what, you take that team, let them keep playing like that, and then add Reynolds' kicking game to it, and they will be knocking on the door of the eight. They're not a certainty for the eight, but they will be knocking on the door.
But what happened was the Courier Mail fucking sprinkled its... fucking fairy dust all over those players and force them to read their own press.
Yeah.
And now they thought, oh, we've got Adam Reynolds, we're going to win the comp.
I would suggest at this stage, they're the biggest regressors from late last season.
Geez, we line those up. I think the Titans are probably a contender as well for that. Yeah. It's tough. I guess that's something we can look at later on.
Yeah.
Socials.
You want to add on that one?
No. I'm all good. I think we spent plenty of time on it.
Lovely. Lachlan said, I wish someone could come in and coach the Broncos on how not to be stupid idiots. There you go. Yeah. Toto said, can Carrigan just play one good game so West Tigers can take him off our hands? Dominic.
I love that one.
From the Tiger House to the fucking penthouse, nothing better than beating the Bronx. And Danny said, wow, hasn't taken long for Reynolds to be kevied.
Kevy's fault.
I don't think Reynolds was particularly, you know, poor or anything.
No. Look, they thought he was going to be the saviour, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Reynolds is never that guy. He's never your individual I'll put this team on my back and carry them. He is the, if you guys go out there and do what you need to do, I'll put the fucking cherry on top. I'll guide us around. You guys are the engines, and I'll be up here with the steering wheel, and I'll get us to where we need to go most of the time.
Right.
What do they call steering wheels and diggers, Glennie?
Depends on the machine you're talking about, but I'm not going to get that technical with you. if it's a loader, it has a steering wheel, so you're right. There you go. You could be in the MI and the FI.
What's a loader? Does it dig?
It's like a digger that you load stuff with.
I mean,
it's in the name.
Can we
man.
Just keep it to your rugby league ignorance without your general life ignorance, please?
But do you put a load in the loader or do you pick up a load with the loader?
You pick up a load in the bucket of the... Why are we talking about this?
So it digs, but it's
for the loader. So what do you call the bucket?
Stupidest industry ever.
So what do you call the bucket? You mean the scooper?
Oh.
Yeah, the scoop.
You know what? I've never actually looked forward to talking about a Manly game, but I really wish we could go to it. Please.
Jesus Christ. Can you imagine fucking the Glennie household? Daddy, Daddy, thank you for saying yes to some ice cream. No worries at all. Oh, please don't hit me when I ask for where the ice cream scoop is. I promise I'll call it an ice cream bucket this time, Daddy.
He wouldn't do that, though. He understands the difference between the DI and the that's dairy industry and the MI.
Wow. Oh, this is great. How do we get here every single fucking episode?
I don't know. I think it's because one of us say digger and you arc up. I mean, basically, yes.
But it's just so fucking ignorant, Nathan. Quite frankly.
Yeah, imagine how triggered you're going to be on Anzac Day. When everyone's talking about diggers.
But why is it called a bucket? It doesn't have a handle.
Please, can we talk about the Manly game?
He doesn't have an answer for it, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
In the MI, I've got no answers, though, about the MI. What's going on?
Yeah.
I do have the answers, but it only just perpetuates more ignorance. From
MI stands for made up and imaginary.
We finished the socials from that one. Yes. I can't even remember where we were.
Yeah, we're done.
The Mighty Manly Seagulls 25 defeat the Canberra Raiders 6 out there at Mudgee, and the Manly side tries to Garrick, Harper, Olakuatu, and Tommy Turbo. Garrick 3 conversions and a penalty goal, field goal to DCE. The Raiders 6 try to Whiten and a conversion to Brad Schneider.
Where you go,
buddy? You want to go first? I love the Mudgee games. I love the way that the people out there get around the game every year. It's become a fixture. I actually want to go out there to one of the Mudgee games just to check it out. It looks like a lot of fun. Performance
wise,
how
bad is it in Mudgee that people willingly drop whatever the fuck they're doing in that fucking two horse town and go and watch Manly and enjoy it?
Toowoomba man.
I would like to formally apologise to the good citizens of Mudgee. Hard-working country folk all. Purveyors of fine Mudgee honey.
Great supporters of rugby league when it makes its way out there every year.
Yes.
Slandered by Glennie. Getting big citied by Glennie from Toowoomba. Fucking hell.
How many MIs Mudgee. You been in? Mudgee.
That's right. Yeah. Show us your fucking diggers.
Yeah, there we go. It's ratified. There we go. He's using the term now. We've changed the MI, Jay.
Yeah. We're disruptors.
No, you are cunts. Big difference.
We're the Uber of the MI. Is there an Uber for diggers?
Oh, fuck me, dead.
Is it called Dugger?
Oh. with like a no E in the end, just a G and an R at the end of the word.
D-U-G-R.
Look, performance wise, very pleasing. The defensively carried on from the second half of that Roosters game in round two, and didn't really give the Raiders much of a sniff at actually scoring the tries. Although the Raiders did quite well, particularly with their offloads through the forwards, they were unable to do anything with it though. It was just the one single tackle lapse from Olakau'atu that gave them their only points of the game. Attacking wise, it was great to see some of the sort of tries that they scored last year, particularly. The ones that Harper and Garrick scored, and things started working a lot better. It's been said, by all, but the kicking game from Cherry in this game was just fucking outstanding, and probably the winning of the game. And I don't know what the pretty much everything you can do with a kick in this game, short of taking a conversion, he did. I mean, it was a field goal. It was try from a grubber, try from a bomb, 20-40, 40-20, and just outstanding kicking across the board. And it was just great. Like it was one of those games where everyone was on. Like four and played extremely well. Harpered. But to a lesser extent than he has in the first three rounds, so which is good to see. Whether it's enough to turn him around, I don't quite know yet. But Cooler made his not his debut, but he's certainly his first starting match in his career, and
he looked good.
He looked like he was ready for ready for first grade. I mean, he got through the 80 minutes with no problem at all. Set up that first try to Garrick with a great run and busting through a tackle. And just generally looked like he belonged. And in defence, I mean, I just can't remember anything coming his way that, he was almost caught or needed to be mopped up or anything. I mean, he just looks like he belongs there. So, going forward, I think he'll... what I want him to do is cement himself as one of the players in the 17 that is not on the first to be dropped list, when, people are coming back and rotating through the side. And if he could get over there in that right center spot and maybe replace Harper, ultimately, I think it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But there's a lot of troops coming back into the side as well, so in the forwards especially. And I guess Aloy as well. I mean, I mentioned last week on the show that I'd hoped that he would tighten things up in the center and create an impact in his first game back. And he was the best forward in the side, I think, by far, and did everything that I wanted him to do. And he basically carried his load and also the load of Marty Tapau, who is increasingly doing fuck all in games. I think in his first stint, Marty had three fucking runs, which is just like unforgivable for a starting prop.
Is he off contract at the end of the year?
Yes, he is.
As let me tell you,
I don't think we will be. And he's on.
That's
he's on too much
why
money.
He's playing poorly.
Well, I mean, it's a contract year. You'd think he'd be playing fucking well. He hasn't signed anywhere else.
Yeah,
and he was having trouble. I mean, we were going to let him go early. I think last year there were discussions, and no one wanted to meet the price. But as it turns out, now he's coming off contract, so it doesn't matter about who's going to meet his price or not. I mean, if he wants to ply his trade, he's going to have to fucking sign somewhere, right?
Yeah, he's Super League bound for sure.
England.
And if the West Tigers want him, they can have him this year for the bargain price of carry half the weight and send us fucking Tuolungi straight away.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'll tell you, so would you say that this result was underwhelming, overwhelming, or just right-whelming for a team with two of the top 10 most expensive players in the history of the sport?
Look, won the game by almost 20. Fucking is a perfect result.
So
couldn't be happier. This is against the team that beat the Inform Sharks.
Before they were in form.
The Baboons
in the first game that they played together when they had no coach.
I'm sorry, what?
That's when you beat the Sharks.
When they had no coach. They didn't have a coach for fucking 2021. They got a coach now. They got old Skeletor from fucking...
They didn't have it. He had COVID.
Castle Grayskull. Well, that's like saying that in the next game that the Roosters didn't have a fucking coach.
Well, they didn't.
They got a fucking coach.
Jason Ryles is fucking coaching masterclass.
Well, I mean, he is a progeny of fucking Craig Bellamy, but we'll get to them.
Okay, so essentially we've established now that Manly are a crack whore from Logan with a Louis Vuitton handbag. That's what Manly.
The crackle from Logan with a Louis Vuitton handbag. The Louis Vuitton handbag would come from Malaysia, and they bought it at the fucking markets.
Oh no 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 no!
And it's not actually Louis Vuitton because crack whores.
So what you're saying
get
is,
past the security in that fucking Queen Street Louis Vuitton store?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And they don't. And they don't have one at the Hyperdome.
You are 100% right,
to my knowledge.
Because whilst DCE does things like 40-20s and 20-40s that may make him look like a great halfback, you are right.
That's exactly what a halfback needs to do.
A fucking cheap Malaysian ripoff of a good halfback.
It's actually...
You are correct in your assessment.
It's probably the greatest performance by a halfback in probably at least the last 10 years of the competition. Perhaps the NRL era.
Well, as the most expensive player to ever play the game, you would hope so. You would want him to be turning out
value for
best
money.
Performances
Tremendous.
In the history of the sport every week.
Yep, and he did, so everyone's happy. We got there in the end. Thank fuck. Get on the socials.
Dally's Cherry Evans, Parkley Market Special. Nicholas, T-Baz ruined Chotrick. Poor bloke was an Origin winger at one point. Yeah, that's a fucking...
We got plenty for fucking T-Baz. Don't you worry about that.
Jason... said Raiders, epitomising stupid, panicked football. They'll never be a top side while doing that. Yeah, you're right. They didn't seem to have a plan at any stage.
Hear what fucking Ricky said in the press conference.
What's that?
He said that the Manly, he talked about the club or the CEO or whatever, should be laying flowers on the grave of Bob Fulton the grave of Bob Fulton every week and lay flowers on there for Bob Fulton convincing him to backflip from the Titans, Daly to backflip from the Titans deal.
There you go.
It was actually remarkably unsullen for Ricky as well. Like, he didn't have much to complain about. He just got smashed.
Yeah, Shane said Canberra couldn't complete a four-piece jigsaw puzzle. Yeah, you're right. Robbie said, well, once again, DCE's neck is far too strong for the Raiders. Here come the Premiers. Strong words. Kat said, have to admit, great kicking game from Darius Cherry Evans. If only he could defend an attack, he would be worth $1 million a year. That is true. Liam.
Yeah, I mean, we've established he's one of the greatest defenders in the halfback ranks, but also in this game, he put an exclamation point on it by making a tackle in the centre where he actually tackled two forwards at once.
Cool. Have you looked at the missed tackles leading to tries?
I've looked at the fucking stats in depth.
Have
because
you looked
some
at missed tackles leading
made
to
me...
tries?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you want to be
looked
sure
at every...
that?
Yeah, yeah, I'm fucking
missed tackles
absolutely...
leading to tries.
I'm 100% positive. Okay. You haven't, but I have because some cunt made me, and the cunt knows who it is, and he made me do it.
No,
and,
like not missed tackles. Missed tackles leading to tries.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have analysed the fucking game tape.
No worries.
For 265 games of Daly Cherry Evans' career, and
Liam.
Compared and contrasted initially to Luke Brooks, but then when I compared it to Luke Brooks,
why
then
would
I realized
you do that?
Because
why would you bother?
Because that was the fucking challenge laid out to me. And then, but then I realised when I started looking at other players, there were some that were significantly worse than Luke Brooks, who are significantly higher rated on this show.
Nice. Because they win premierships, perhaps.
But they are fucking worst defenders.
That's it.
It is.
Good thing premierships are not won with defence. They're won with points.
Well,
hang on, wait, what?
Yeah. We're changing the argument now. We're changing the argument now to suit ourselves, although they haven't won more premierships than Daly.
Liam said DCE Clinic with Foran on Song has to be the best halves pairing in the comp. I
Preach.
Think Foran fucking wound back the clock in this one. He was good for it. And Troy, he said, let's not pretend Manly looked good. More a case that the Raiders looked terrible. Thoughts?
Thoughts. Fucking the NAMLA president chiming in, trying to get read out by you.
There you go.
Mission accomplished.
There you go.
Now, the Roosters 28 defeat the Cowboys 4 up there at the abattoir. The Roosters 28 tries to Momorowski, Radley, Ngama, and Daniel Tupou with a double to Joey Manu. Two conversions to Sam Walker. Tedesco missed with his only attempt. And the Cowboys, a solitary try to Murray Taulagi.
I think Joey Manu's return to first grade and his form after his injury late last year is going under the radar. He had some fantastic and has had some fantastic play since he's come back. And no sign of any hesitation going into contact, especially after that injury, which is really impressive. And it shows in his game that he's not hesitating. He's hitting the ball at speed. The contest in the air in this game, zero hesitation. And fucking, I don't know what sort of psychological assistance he had to get through, given that his face was smashed. But he's come out the other side and hasn't missed a beat since he's come back. So it's really impressive. I think the Cowboys needed the Roosters to be a bit off their game to have a chance of winning this game, and the Roosters weren't. And then to compound that, the Cowboys gifted the Roosters more possession and field position through their own ill discipline, similar to what we were saying with the Broncos. But couldn't get out of our own way in patches in this game, and the Roosters made them pay.
Leave themselves down men as well. Yeah. You know. So the Cowboys' form, though, do you think it's the Roosters, or do you think that their form is, you know, fool's gold?
I think the Roosters were pretty good. I think the Cowboys probably have surprised a few people and prepared to give them the benefit of the doubt in this game, just being outclassed and maybe one of those nights in certain areas. But some of the attack the Roosters threw at him was pretty impressive.
Yeah. It went essentially as it was predicted to go.
I mean, I would have liked to seen more out of the Cowboys, because, like I said last week, this was like a test. This was a, you know, it's one thing to you know, beat up on sides like, you know, the Broncos, for example, but now you're at home, you're against a team that's, you know, like a fairly, you know, highly rated team in the competition. Now's a chance to test that great form and see if it translates. Yeah, in the bigger games.
Mm.
And unfortunately for the Cowboys, it did not come close.
Yeah, that's it. Anything else you want to say on that one?
No.
Nice. No. Jordan said, how does Jordan McLean have a contract? He's a shit version of James Tamau.
Oof. Fuck.
Yeah, he's dying off putting McKinnon in a wheelchair.
Man, you remember, like, when he left Melbourne.
What?
He was... Would you have said he was one of the top five front rowers in the game?
No, I wouldn't have. But I mean, he was definitely like a super promising one with that kind of asterisk, like McKinnon thing sort of hanging over him a little bit.
And then he did himself for the first season at the Cowboys. Was it at the Nines?
Yes.
Well, what the fuck, that cunt was playing in the Nines anyway. But... Fuck me.
Quality coaching.
I don't know why anyone puts anything more than like a back edgiest of the edge back rowers into that thing. You know, you don't need fucking props.
Yeah. And he's never come back. Absolutely never come back. Sad. Stephen, so gee whiz, bet there's a few disappointed MI fans in Townsville.
Oh, they love the MI out there.
Alistair. Said big Townsend fans too. Verb. Informal. To make a number of meme-level poor decisions or errors resulting in the Cowboys playing like the Cowboys, Chad Townsend completely Townsended in that game against the Roosters last night.
Yeah, he'd been earning back some goodwill with his performances earlier in the season, but this was one of those ones where, you know, Chad, that we thought we'd see.
Chad's going to Chad.
Winston finished this one off and he said, this is like watching a reverse donkey show in Tijuana. There you go. Jesus Christ.
You say a reverse donkey show.
Yeah, I don't know what about it made it.
I need to go to the panel with that one. What makes it a reverse one? I thought no matter which way things are going in the donkey show that it's all just a donkey show, right?
Who knows? Yeah, that's it.
Quality comments as always, Cowboys fans. The Melbourne Storm, 44, defeat the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, 0. Down there at the Korean Housewife, 4 tries to Ryan Pappenhausen. King, Bromwich, Coates and Kafusi also with tries. Pappy, 6 of 8 conversions. The Bulldogs, mind you, coached by an offensive mastermind / genius, it's been said, 0 points. Unless you want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that those 2 length of the field intercept the lost ball tries go on Trent's account as points that he generated through his attacking mastermind genius.
Yeah. I I don't think this game needs any more discussion than, you know, similar to the last one. This went exactly as the fucking script dictated.
Mm.
An incredible team that will be vying for the premiership played against a rebuilding club that's been rebuilding forever and doesn't have its full component of players that it envisions for its final team that come next year.
Are the Bulldogs of 2022 just the Bulldogs of 2021 with far less cap space?
That haven't played the Tigers yet.
And I said this about Birdo last year. You know, he has a massive fucking boot on him. He has an absolutely massive boot.
Oh, those floaty wonky bombs are fucking great.
That's it. And he will get the Dogs out of far more trouble than any of the halves they've had for the last couple of years in terms of just territory.
They didn't buy him for his kicking game. It's actually a thing. Like, I know you've said previously that he's got a great boot on him, but I'm sure when the Bulldogs wanted him to sign, they weren't buying him in any large part due to his kicking game. It was his running game and the spark.
They bought him as a running six to be an organising half. That's what they did, and that's fucking trendy. It's the fucking textbook trend.
But Birdo, and as great as he is, and he is a great player, he was a great player behind a premiership-winning forward pack, playing outside of two State of Origin representing halves,
and inside a State of Origin winger as well.
You know, inside a State of Origin winger, insider if he was born in Australia would have played Origin in kick-out, if not for performance, just for the narrative. You know, Fijian representative.
Yep.
And there's a lot of talk at the moment, and you know, ramping up in the last couple of years, but about the gravity that these players have for a defensive line. So when you think of all that fucking gravity that each one of those players demands from a defensive line,
and it's no surprise
you haven't even mentioned
Isaiah
Yeo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah.
Well, he does tend to work the other way though.
Yeo plays for I've just underrated him. That's how underrated he is. But it's no surprise. Matt Burton has essentially just had the easiest job in rugby league for the last year.
I think that's a bit of a stretch, but he's certainly gone into one of the more difficult
in rugby league.
He's gone into one of the more difficult jobs in rugby league, and he's been sold a fucking dump by his coach and fucking.
Well, I mean, that's one of the easiest jobs in rugby league. Getting selected in the halves at the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. That's a pretty fucking easy job. It's also easy to get dropped from it too if you're not being paid the most money, but still.
Congratulations, Birdo. You did not flog a speaker this week. We'd like you to come back next week.
He has to, in his heart of hearts, has to be regretting it.
Yeah.
Is he regretting it as much as Addo Carr, though?
Man,
we've just been through four games now, and he still hasn't even gotten close to scoring a try, let alone open his account. He may be on a nudie run in this Trent Barrett offense.
Addo Carr did start his career at the Tigers, though, so he understands.
Yeah.
Just like Pappy. Like a bunch of good players, Glennie.
Let's bring them all up.
That Tedesco went all right too.
Yeah, he did.
Still breaks.
Well, Woodsy's the only one I think that you go, yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm glad he
left. So, Glennie, would you like to talk about all the great players that have left the Tigers?
No, we're talking about a great player that left Penrith. Don't make this about me.
Or would you rather us talk about all the great players from Penrith that have ended up at the Tigers? Tamau, Peachy.
I don't know. I just want this show to be over.
Melbourne were fucking great. The Dogs were serviceable, you know, at most parts of the game, but just it wasn't a contest in terms of cohesion, in terms of speed, and in terms of execution.
Yeah, and once the points started piling up, then the Dogs really fell away, and it sort of the rate accelerated.
Yeah.
Like they hung in there till probably 16. And then that was the end of that. And then the puppy show began. And a fucking cougar broke out the mullet and the moustache.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Nice. On the socials, Terry,
said after a turbulent start to the year, things have settled into a 2021 type shape for the NRL. For instance, the Bulldogs have the 2020 attacking coach of the year. Jesus Christ. Reese said someone better study Bellamy and his systems and everything he does as a coach because fuck, it works. I used to think he was lucky to have Smith, Kronk and Slater, but he seems to be shitting out big threes with monotonous regularity. Yeah. Will anyone ever touch Bellamy's legacy?
Hard to say. Mm.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Because I don't think. I mean, like, if you look at just sheer like number of premierships and stuff like that, and then also the cycling of you know, coming into probably with a third generation of big players.
Mm.
I mean, you can't argue with the, you know, you can't deny success.
I think that's where he separates himself from other, you know, great coaches.
Because he actually wins it, not just remains perennially successful.
That's it. And well, that, but okay, you look at Wayne Bennett. What teams has Wayne Bennett won with?
Yeah, like the Australian team.
Essentially. Like fucking Glenn.
Certainly the Queensland Origin team, you know. If we're being generous, we say the Australian team, but it's certainly at worst the Queensland State of Origin team plus Chris Johns. Yeah. He played for New South Wales.
Do
you think Robbo's the closest one, like the one with the strongest resume, or
at the moment? But he's probably got to do it for another like 5 or 6 years.
Out of minimum current coaches,
yeah.
Yes.
And he has to do it again, you know, without buying a Cooper Cronk.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I guess you'd say, if Penrith keep this nucleus together.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you're still talking
a decade of dominance.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the thing with Penrith.
I was actually going to say that's exactly the point I was going to make. That's what they would need to achieve to be close to Bellamy, right?
Well, yeah. And that's it. But if you look at Penrith, let's say Ivan now three-peats, right? Let's just say he three-peats.
Kill myself.
The counterpoint on that. No, you won't. You will fucking drown in my semen before you get a chance to jump off the stool.
That's how I will die. Yes, how good.
Back in 2011, Toowoomba City flooded in 7 minutes. You watch me Guinness World Record that motherfucker.
Fuck yeah. Picked up buses and fucking took them down the street. It's got nothing on the wave of fucking 20 billion little J's.
You know, if 20 billion little J's all speak in unison, you can actually hear them.
And they all say, "You're a pedophile."
No. I'm going to Toowoomba, not Northern New South Wales. But if he did that, then the counter comment on that would always be, you know, just like it is with Wayne. Oh, yeah, but he essentially had the Australian team or the Queensland Origin team. If Ivan does that, it'll essentially be, oh, yeah, but they weren't his juniors. They'd all played together for a decade before they got to him.
Yeah, you know? And like half they're half the Origin side or whatever, you know, as well, you know.
That's it. Well, now, see, the counter-argument to that with Cleary, as it is with Bellamy, is they didn't come in as Origin players.
Mm.
They became Origin players under his tutelage.
But over the next 10 years... players that come into that side and perpetuate that success—that's
what he'll
will indeed be his juniors. Yeah, yeah,
and that's it. Because I mean, because the thing is with Bellamy, I mean, his career has been pretty much success no matter what.
Yeah, that's
he's had to deal with. Whereas Ivan has had years of, you know, zero success,
tiredness,
untalented sides. You know, yeah, and you've
got fatigue.
And, yeah, exactly. So,
I would like to point out, Ivan Cleary turned Luke Brooks into a Dally M winning half.
His greatest ever achievement.
So he's already greater than Bellamy.
His greatest ever achievement.
He's already greater than Bellamy.
So what do you reckon? Nathan's like, what do you reckon about that game, Dad? Yeah, but did you see what I did with Luke Brooks? I'm playing for Australia. Yeah. But you had a fair ceiling to start with. And did you see what I did with Lou Brooks?
It's like the Kaiser Soze. It's like, yeah, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to make people think that Lou Brooks was the best halfback in the game across an entire year of football.
Imagine Kaiser Soze just like shuffling down the street.
Mom, Dad's telling the Luke Brooks story again. Fuck's sake.
Instead of just like his shuffle gradually turning into a normal walk, the shuffle gradually turns into Luke Brooks running after Burgess throws the ball on.
Oh, now that's a movie I've seen. How good.
Vivid imagery. Fantastic. Have you done any socials on this? I can't remember. We get a lot of tangents tonight.
We got onto a tangent from the socials. Josh said, "Is there even another option for the Bulldogs if they fire Barrett?"
No, and I want to put it to you. That's what I wanted to do. Put the question to you, fellas. Dean Pay did far more with far less.
Fucking dudded.
Absolutely dudded. Fucking dudded.
100%. But we've been through this before, though. Dean Pay wasn't a performance issue. He was at the mercy of there's factions within that board.
Mm.
And there was a faction that didn't want him in the first place, and they got to say, ha ha, told you so.
Is there a faction that wants to win games?
Yeah, I don't know.
Clearly not.
Jason.
Unless Trent's going to get tired. Because Gus is there to make, you know, he's a fucking sleep specialist.
Yeah, fucking hell. Tell you what, it's a shame he won't make the fucking hook mistake twice. Wouldn't that be great?
Fucking funny.
Jason said, it's been a few hours since that game's finished, so it's given me some time to try and comprehend what has happened. And the conclusion is nothing. Nothing's changed from last season. We struggle to score tries and are suspect in defence. One big loss does not define a season, but something has to change. It's going to take a massive effort from the players to pick themselves up and put this game behind them and try some way in getting the season back on track. Yes.
Who was that comment from?
I don't know. I've just deleted it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say that to the author of that comment, something has changed. You've got 2 million less cap space now.
Yes. That has.
Is that it for the socials?
That's it.
Finally, the Eels 48 defeated the Dragons 14. Eels tries to Brown, Marnie and Gutherson, doubles to Moses and Wonga Blake. Moses perfect, eight from eight conversions. The Dragons 14 tries to Bird and Sims, and a couple of conversions to Zach Lomax and a penalty goal.
When they're on and the passes stick, not many teams beat Power in that mood, in that second half mood in particular. Some of those tries they scored were fucking impressive. As much as it pains me to admit it. That's the best game I've seen Moses play.
He's another one, isn't he? He used to be at the Tigers, didn't he?
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. It's great.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Let's bring up some others.
They had like a big three, and I think he was one of them. He was one of the three.
Can you imagine what Bellamy would have
shirt?
You imagine what Bellamy would have done with that big three?
Big three, Pete.
Oh, fucking hell.
Fucking hell. I also think if you look at some of the performances from across the round, how much is a fucking 8 from 8 goal kicking performance worth?
Mm.
Now, if you're scoring fucking, you know, at the not where you need to take 8 conversions, the game's probably not in doubt.
You're probably going all right anyway. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. I mean, because we've seen the Roosters have got horrific trouble with goal kicking.
Yep.
Even Panthers haven't been incredible.
No, not at all.
And I mean, Cleary, I thought that would fix, you know, the second Cleary came back. But I mean, he was a bit rusty to start off as well.
Yeah, look, you know, he can only be so perfect as not the highest paid player in the history of the game. You know, he's allowed to have some drawbacks, and we still consider him.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has got his drawbacks. I mean, he's that fucking Rocky Dennis fucking chin he's got to carry around.
Goes home, tells Dad.
That's not
sorry about missing those goals, Dad. Well, you know, Luke Brooks would have kicked those back when I made him the Tally M halfback of the year.
Fuck, imagine that. You're like representing your state and your country
And your dad's just like, nah. Nah.
Still not the greatest thing this family's ever achieved.
Oh, congratulations on being the second highest achieving Cleary in the house, son.
Well, that's like they got the trophy wall and everything like that. And the main thing is this framed photo of Cleary Luke and Brooksy, you know, at the Dally M's all
holding up his trophy.
Yeah.
No, again, he's turned it into an NFT. It's Brooksy running.
Cleary's are at church on Sunday telling a story about how Jesus turned water into wine. Well. Yeah, that's impressive, but did he ever turn Luke Brooks into the Dally M back of the year?
Oh, God.
Where were you, Glennie? Sorry, mate.
Another tangent. Yeah, good. Gutho scored a long-range try, run away. There was no Gutherino. I put it to you that maybe the Gutherino has died. And was assassinated.
Do you think that we all should thank Philip Sami?
Yes.
For knocking the Gutherino out of him.
Yeah. Fucking oath we should.
I fucking hope that is the case. But, Dragons weren't up for the contest and once Para, certainly in the second half, I should say, the Dragons didn't come out and Para got on a roll and St. George couldn't go with him.
What the fuck was Griffin doing with the team selections for this game?
It's crazy.
Griffin Ball! Oh, yeah.
But what aspect of Griffin Ball takes the promising juniors who have acquitted themselves well so far through the season and then just randomly dropping?
Anthony Griffin is the man that took Bryce Cartwright, who was on the cusp of being considered for Origin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pro-choice advocate.
So this is before he was financing abortions.
That's it. And turned him into a six.
Mm.
And Bryce Cartwright...
Turned him into a Gold Coast Titan.
Yeah. Do you remember that the season Cartwright had where he was doing that thing? He was essentially playing as that hybrid, you know, centre, second row or lock position.
Yep.
Where he'd be out on edges, he'd have a physical dominance against the people in front of him. He had those giant fucking arms. He was getting wraparound offloads and flick passes away. And all of a sudden, Griffin's going, "You're a six. You're a six."
Yep.
That's Hook. That's Griffin Ball. You know, it's.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Bryce's pass in this game? Caught it in the left hand, yeah. Switched to the right in midair, flicked it out the back. Did we call that the coat hanger?
Did it end any lives?
Well, St. George died. St. George died. Okay. Some would say it ended 17 on the afternoon.
17 Cogra residents.
That's Bryce Cartwright. He's not a... Griffin doesn't seem to understand that so much of the game now is in making split-second decisions, and to make a split-second decision accurately, you need to make that decision over and over and over and over and over and over. You know, it's why you can't just put somebody who trained the house down in fullback. You know, it's why
hey,
you can't.
Hey, yes, you can. Doesn't mean they're going to play well, but you can put
that's
them
it.
There.
Yeah, you can do it, yeah. The difference between could and should. But this is Griffin Ball 101. Strap in, Dragons fans. This is everything you deserve.
You pack of cunts. And I will say, a special shout out to number one fucking Red V cunt who come in today, fucking scabbed my fucking customer gifts off my front counter at work. Comes in, fucking trots in, with his hair all slicked back like a fucking creep. Oh, what do we got here? Oh, some gifts, leftovers that we had, from, you know, some... Oh, what's this? I might take this. It's fucking food. I like food. Fucking righto. Trots out, jumps back in his car and fucks off. See you, Cashy.
Okay, so you say we have some leftovers here, and this poor man's thought that you were being kind and offering him a gift.
Doing you a favour, taking them off your hands, to be honest.
And And so in not wanting to fucking insult you, trying to re-gift shit like the cheap cunt that you are, he's begrudgingly accepted it.
Exactly what probably, I said you would say.
Probably gone and donated them to a homeless shelter.
It's probably already at the bottom of his guts.
The reason you didn't know he donated to a homeless shelter is because he didn't put it on the socials, because he's not that kind of guy.
Exactly. Ben, in the Facebook group, said, this game is what the Eels fans needed to keep clinging to their 86 FIFA dreams. They were 9-1 last year in round 10. We can all expect the same failure and inevitable implosion from Nutho, Moses and Mahoney. That is an interesting point. Look, Parramatta are playing incredible footy, but they played incredible footy for most of last year, but peaked too early. You know, I think for Arthur to rectify the mistakes of last year, he needs to get them, you know, rising into finals form, which won't make a difference if they come up against Penrith in the finals again, because we will just absolutely fucking race stone them. Robert said, what the most impressive thing about that game was both teams going hard till the final buzzer. There was no slowdown, no accepting defeat, but wonderfully the Dragons received some of their own medicine, and no matter how hard they cried no, the Eels continued to force their way in. Wow, Parramatta fans making rape jokes. That's fucking classy. What a classy.
It's almost like their greatest ever player wasn't just released from jail.
Oh god.
Brett Kenny just got released from jail.
Both teams didn't go hard till the final buzzer. You played the Dragons. Jesus Christ. John said, my first trip to Combank Stadium was well and truly worth it. Parramatta's second half, how awesome to watch live. A big thanks to Hook for reshuffling his squad before kickoff and giving us a disjointed Dragons team to pick apart at will. Epic night. That is a proper review of that game. And from somebody who deservedly watched his team fuck up a poorly coached opposition. There you go. Enjoy it. Our good and depressed friend, JDHD44 on Twitter. Fucking, I'd rather have an actual jet ski on the field, because at least then Mitchell Moses might trip over it on his way to the try line. The worst edition of Griffin Ball, because the Dragons don't have the talent to win in spite of him like that Penrith team did. That's true.
It's absolutely one of my favourite subplots of this season is how they're not getting anything out of Sooley as predicted, because Griffin's his coach, and how they got jet ski and now they're understanding what it's like to have jet ski in the side.
Yeah.
I love it. So that's it for the socials?
That's it.
That's it for 451 then, folks. Thanks for listening. As always, find our various social media communities, Patreon and more. Head to thisweekinleague.com/links. If you like to support the show, Patreon's the best way to do it. Drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend.
If you're international and you leave us a review, let us know. Let us know on the socials. Let us know via email, because we don't see them unless you tell us. And we'd love to read it out for you.
That's right. Now, tipping, I probably should revisit the tipping competition. And at the moment, we have a couple of people tied. The top five all on the same score. Willie Smash on top, followed by Mitch Rich, Mitch Doyle 13, Duhigg, Troy Schroeder, and then the rest of the top 10 back a point with Alpha Ben RL, Dipsy, Christy, Furry Comedian, Laughing Gnome. That's it. Laughing Gnome is number 10. Congratulations.
Yeah, good.
All the best for the rest of the season. Glenn, do you have anything else you'd like to raise before we...
No. Absolutely nothing, Nathan. There is absolutely nothing else I have to say this evening.
That's good, seeing as I feel that we have discussed every game of rugby league that happened last week.
All of the games...
Oh, look, all the professional
...of rugby league.
Ones.
Yeah, every all game of actual rugby league that was played on the weekend has been discussed.
Of NRL, that's it.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, we did forget to discuss the semi-finals for the NRLW, which took place. And the Brisbane Broncos' stranglehold on the women's competition has officially ended, and the grand final will be contested at Redcliffe this weekend between the Dragons and the Roosters.
Who's your tip?
Dragons as well. Look, I think I'm going to tip the Roosters, just because be the champs, you've got to beat the champs. And the Broncos have had such a stranglehold on that competition, only losing two regular season games, I think, in the history of the fucking competition. Yep. And then this game, this semi they lost was the third game I think they've ever lost. So to beat a team like that is impressive. And I think that the Roosters girls deserve to go on with it then and get the chip.
Get the ring.
So that's it.
Fantastic.
Talk to you boys on Wednesday.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.